I wasn't looking.
Hello, this is Rivers Cuomo, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
If this gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Kneel down! I hear just a little bit
sweet, but I'm
tripping
out. Jank it up the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hold on out with your friends.
Construct ground for it.
Bell eviction.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
Hey, bud. Good party.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Oh, what does it all mean in the end? Absolutely nothing. Thanks for tuning in to Jonah Radio. Can't make it, but Cash Hartzell is here.
Hi, everybody. Cash Hartzell is here.
Neil Mahoney is here.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
And our dear friend, returning guest, hilarious person, immaculate freestyle rapper. that's how I want to start to describing rapping is like it's immaculate.
Oh yeah, but
our first, yes, our friend Eliza Skinner is here. Eliza,
yay,
hello.
Me. Yeah, hello.
You made me feel better. Last time you were on, you made me feel better about not being able to sing too well because you gave it a real eugenics point of view. Of you're like sometimes it's just the shape of your skull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. It's like it's the different holes in your head than the resonance of them. Just like the way like the shape of a guitar and any musical instrument, it's the holes inside of it.
Yeah, did we bring this up last time that's why Freddie Mercury never got his teeth fixed?
Well, maybe.
Well, guys, I have been randomly opening the holes of my face in different ways. So I think you'll really be impressed. Just stretching.
Cool. Good.
I was thinking about putting spacers in my earlobes, and then I just started putting them in my
ear.
That's just that much more resonance. Yeah. Absolutely. But when the wind, sound waves bounce around in there.
Yeah,
when the
I started
blows,
breaking glass.
It sounds like a haunted forest. Eliza, you're here because you're our friend and you're funny and you know a lot about music, but also you're on a promotional tour right
it's now. It's a whirlwind. Yeah, I have a show coming out on Disney Plus that I was a head writer for called Earth to Ned, and I have my own album coming out, and it's both on the same day on September 4th.
That's really exciting.
Thank you. It is exciting, but it's also a little nutty. And the reason it ended up all being on the 4th was because the show between me and you guys was supposed to be coming out the next week. Can you figure out what date that was?
Oh, no.
Let's see, 4+7.
Sammy Levs?
Was that Sammy Levs?
Sammy Levs. Okay. Yeah,
that was that. At one point, Disney was like, that's a good day to release a show. And everyone was like, about a bunch of aliens who've come here to destroy the earth? I don't know if it is. And then they were like, yeah, you know what? You're right. So
who might read into that?
Yeah.
Good note. Message. Good note. Yeah.
So
that's a no-go on the Sembi Levs. We'll get Gavin on the line and see if he agrees with this. But
He loves to weigh in. He loves and take the temperature of the room. He likes to weigh in and take the temperature.
Well, you've caught us on a great week because you're an animal lover, and this week is the Santa de Or Cat Rescue fundraising week. It's a cat rescue that Deanna, my wife, works with, and she's also like it's just a local cat rescue. So we're doing what Neil wanted to help raise a little money the best way we know how. And Neil, what's the deal with this fundraiser we're doing for this episode?
We're going to go to the Santi Dior swear jar.
Ooh.
That's right. So anytime any of us swear.
It's a buck a cuss.
A buck.
Oh, wow.
A buck a cuss.
So, a fucking whole buck?
Okay, that's one for us.
Cash marks.
So I went on the internet and tried to look up lists of American swears. It's kind of hard to find. It wasn't easy. You have to go to like British publications where they teach you how to swear in America.
Was it just a bunch of George Carlin clips that showed up?
No. So
he's like the Clippy of swearing. He like pops up. Looks like you're trying to make us swear.
You consider these seven words.
There's a bunch of softer ones on there that I was going to give passes to, like, dang. And I'm like, It's stupid. There was also a great map of like where swears are most popular in the United States, according to Twitter, like mentions. It's very funny. The F word is coastal and then not in the middle of America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So nobody in fucking Chicago knows what I'm talking about.
Oh. Yeah, they just hear a high whine when you say that. It's just like a tone.
So I narrowed it down to asshole, bitch, shit, fuck, cunt, cock, twat, dick, and damn.
Just do you have to pay for all of those that you just said?
Yeah, that's
no,
like
this is
bucks.
In the context of listing the
it feels like it's still infected people's ears. They're listening.
Hey.
Well, I'm just a municipal worker.
That sucks.
Point. What?
I just dropped, I said sucks and dropped a dime.
Sucks is.
Sorry.
Are we doing it for songs too?
Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, twat. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd,
these are all on you, Jonah.
I fucked your mom.
All right, so that we're going to have to get Mark Hoppus and...
those are all on you.
No, no, those we got it. Mark has been a guest on this show.
Came through your microphone, man.
Did it? Yeah. I feel like did you guys not get a window of Mark Hoppus just now?
Like yeah, no, yeah.
Zooming in, doing that.
Yeah, he popped it up like a paperclip.
Him and Tom in the first, first collaboration in years. They showed up to do that song for us live, and then in spastic YouTube delay, bad internet quality, which is very nice. Well, so tell us about Earth to Ned.
Earth to Ned is a quote unquote late night talk show. It's hard to call it late night when something's streaming because you can watch it any time of day.
That's a good point.
It's a late night talk show hosted by aliens. And these are aliens who came to Earth to destroy the planet. And when they got close, the leader of the little gang realized that they started getting our movies and TV shows on their ship, and they realized, oh, we love this. I don't want to be destroying things. I want to be making movies. I want to be making TV shows. This is so fun. And decided that the way to really learn the fastest and get stuck in the industry was to start their own TV show. So they used their beaming technology to beam celebrities onto the ship and interview them, and it's real celebrities. They do bits, they do games, interviews, and they learn about human concepts like love and art and
racism.
I mean, we try to like address stuff as well as we can. That's kind of the fun of sci-fi, that you can, we're not talking about Earth, we're talking about this other planet. And some stuff went down there. And let's learn from them.
So were you given like, here you get to create this the alien society whole cloth sort of coming from that?
I mean, what I got hired, they had already sold the general pitch, pretty most of what I said to you, not all of it actually, just like aliens hosting late night talk show, we created the backstory, and there are different races of aliens even within the cast, and so like how they know each other and how their societies work together.
Sorry. Did you guys get like designs and stuff, or had you seen Ned before when you walked in and were like, okay, I can write for this guy? Or did you ask for changes at all in the actual like puppetry? No. I'm fascinated by the puppetry.
It's a Henson production. So the puppetry is sort of like king. Like you don't, anywhere else I probably could have been like, can we get the different outfits? Not at Henson. Okay. Like, no, because this is who this puppet actually is. This is their soul. You're trying to change their soul. Doesn't work that way, Eliza. Like, okay, got it. I'm just going to learn to write for that puppet. And also people a lot of times want to know about voice actors, but they don't consider them voice actors. They're really puppeteers.
Yeah.
So it's the people who do the voices for them are also puppeteering them, and they work really hard in developing those characters. So again, that was a new way to write, because normally I'm writing a character, I give it to an actor, you fucking figure it out. I saved a cat. It's the beginning of a great screenplay. And yeah,
all the Robert McKee heads are going nuts.
But yeah, so it was like more of a collaboration, and it which was good for me because most of my experience is from late night or comedy variety where you are writing for real people more than creating.
And then and then this is your first album coming out.
This is my first album.
When did you record this?
I recorded the stand-up comedy portions 2 years ago.
That's fine. I mean, it's not like,
but it's
you're
fresh,
like a
guys.
Topical,
it's fresh.
Yeah,
it's not like it was on the last album and you're just repeating it.
That's true.
You have entree. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So yeah, I recorded the stand-up section, which is the first half of the album, and then there are songs that we did in studio for the last five tracks.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really fun.
That's great. And then what's that called?
The album?
Yeah.
It's called Regarding My Lovers.
Oh, fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. I figured if I'm going to do material about dating, which people shit on, save the cat. May as well lean into it and own it.
That's a thing that it's so funny, the comedy scene of just like the guilt you have. It's like, well, I can't do that. It's like, even though you feel like that's what your body or your mind and soul, your comedic, you know, entity inside you leans towards, you're told to not do that, you know? So it's like, well, it's dating. So why am I going to talk about dating? You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's two ways of it. Maybe I'm being generous to myself, but like there's comedy where you're pandering to an audience and you're like, what do I think they want me to talk about? And that kind of dating material is like, it's boring. But yeah, for me, I just spend a lot of time being like coming home from dates and being like, what just happened and why? And why did I do what I did? It's just such a strange formal thing that we put on an animal need that we have for love and affection and sex.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, and it's something everybody universally cares about.
Yeah. It's, you know, what is any kind of art, but, you know, reaching out for a connection and
universal experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Universal experiences. It's like, and there's the idea of being, you know, I was always so jealous of comics like Maria Bamford, who like would talk about kind of universal stuff, but it was just the angle of it. And, or like Brent Weinbach, who I put in a similar category where it's just like, you're like, I want to do that kind of stuff, but I don't want to be the person that's able to think of that kind of stuff. Cause that seems like a scary place to be.
I like where my brain is in this skull, but
yes.
Yeah.
The skull that can't sing for shit. Oh,
No, I mean, think of it like different instruments. Like, look, you're not going to get the same tone out of a tuba that you are out of a violin. But you just find the right parts for those and the right things to do with those.
I knew this was just going to turn into Eliza lecturing us on phrenology the entire time.
Now, wait, phrenology is the bumps on the head, right?
Oh, yeah, isn't that... No, that's crazy. Yeah. The bumps on the head. But no, the holes
phrenology
in your head.
is the classic Roots album.
Like your sinuses. You know about this, your sinuses, right, Cash?
I have like $13 and change stuffed up there. So damn right I know what my sinuses.
Well, there you
damn.
Go. That'll get you a jingly sound.
Well, that's one.
It's like having a snare snapped on your snare drum. That's all that change in there.
We're going to take a break with a song, a submitted track from a band that we've been playing for quite a while. They're called Alex Jonestown Massacre. they've been putting stuff out. We've been playing it, and they just they're putting out a new album. They just put out a new album just like a couple weeks ago, and it's great. It's very, really great, diverse punk album. But we're going to be playing a track called Don't Tell a Soul. More Eliza Skinner on Jonah fucking Radio when we come back. Cat, 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 cat.
Listening to you speak while I lay on the couch, wasting time, wasting space. nerves to break your legs. When your feet are so close, can you even dream when you're told to beg? And we look up to our heroes. We're born the right one to take us away from all this. So close to a breaking point, but we push it down and we wait for it to start again.
Okay, that was Alex Jones, Town Massacre, with Don't Tell a Soul. I clipped through the album. It's good. It's a good punk album. I really, really do enjoy it. It's just quality stuff. Eliza, usually this part of the show is a time where we
reflect
don't look
and
back.
Stay quiet. Oh, okay.
No. We don't reflect and stay quiet. We don't look to the past as much as
oh,
the future.
Oh, fuck.
As oh, there you go.
Get the kitties.
As much as right now in a segment that Cash has kind of just started calling
Music News.
Oh, that's right. It's time. No. The wise news of the thank you.
I was looking through my music on my computer yesterday, and I still had that pre-installed U2 album.
Yes.
Remember, like a million years ago when you got iTunes and it came with a U2 album?
I thought you said the pre-installed YouTube album, and I was like, YouTube did that? Weird, because so did U2, like a fucking idiot. I said fucking, and I said it three times.
Speaking of the theme song for Music News, rock legends Thin Lizzy just announced a massive box set with unreleased tracks, demos, live sessions, and previously unreleased documentary film. This is a Music News segment specifically for Neil Mahoney.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're going to get that box set? You're going to get that box? Oh, there you go.
You're going to?
Yeah, I'll fucking get that shit.
Oh, 2-2. Ooh.
Oh man, these kitties are gonna be so happy.
These kitties are gonna be so full of
fucking better be.
Okay, boy.
It's gonna be a twat and good time.
Does that count, Neil? Is that on the list?
Yeah, no,
that's the only reason I said
I don't appreciate
it.
The swear chosen.
Oh hell yeah, this vocabulary is snatched. Does that can I
hell? I mean, what?
Snatch.
How Christian are we getting on?
Thin Slizzy. Does that get me anything? Thin Slizzy.
I ran down the list, and there's one that I actually left off that I'm feeling like I should have put on.
There was a big debate about the British calling a friend sort of thing, whether that counts over here.
Pussy isn't on the list, Jonah. That's the one I left off.
Oh, okay. Mate?
No.
Is that what the British people call each other? Bloke?
No.
Chav?
Closer. Starts with that.
Chap is an insult.
Chap?
He's Chunk. Thinking of cunt.
Yeah.
Made
him say it.
That's two for me. Mm-hmm.
If you all were to think about the highest paid musicians right now.
Right.
What would you think is on that list?
Johnny Spotify.
Adam Levine.
Ooh. Adam Levine?
Okay.
What's that guy with his own Crocs?
Kanye?
No.
Yeah.
Kanye has his own Crocs.
Post Malone? Yeah,
Crocs.
Post Malone.
Post Malone is very rich. And he seems like an okay guy.
He's got that Crocs money.
Yeah, but
Crocs money.
Are new rich Musicians, like, are they the same as, like, do you have some legacy money that you got to factor into this?
Yeah.
I think, like, Rolling Stones and shit are on this, the list.
I think it's, like, right now.
Like, the top earners.
Like, who's getting the checks right this minute?
Yeah, it's, like, of 2019, right?
Oh, okay. So, like, your Billie Eilish.
Your kind of Steven Tyler's. Just the scarf money is coming in. So a lot of face coverings.
Is he going to scarves? He's got to start soon, right? Like QVC, the way that Joan Rivers had her line.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Tyler, Colin Hanks crossover.
Here we go. Here's some top publishing. This is the artists that are top publishing. Number 10, Khalid.
DJ Khalid?
Yes.
No. Wait, is it with an E or an I?
Khalid.
That's different. That's
Khalid.
Yeah, Khalid. Yeah, okay. He's an R&B kind of. Yeah, I think we would call him R&B pop.
Okay.
For the listeners, when she said R&B, she did like a shimmy. Just
well,
so you know.
I almost added funk, but it's not really. I saw him at Bonnaroo. So
okay. All right. Well.
We're friends because I saw him.
Drake
saw him at Whole Foods.
Yes, yeah. Drake is above that in top publishing.
Sure.
And
his money's in Canadian though.
That's
so
true.
It's a little bit.
It's a little more right now.
Yeah,
isn't
it's a little more.
Yeah. But he pays higher taxes.
Well, in publishing, does that mean that you get money for other people covering your songs too? Because I know.
Right. And you get money for people recording the songs you wrote for them.
Yeah, because I think, I know there's a few different versions of Passion Fruit, which I always like.
Yeah. 21 Pilots. Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift, Queen, Post Malone at number 4.
Hey, there I am.
Panic at the Disco at number 3.
What? What year is this?
This is this year, Neil. This is 2020. This makes total sense then.
No, I meant like this year. What year is this year?
Yes, 2020.
Time is a flat circle.
Panic at the Disco and then Jonas Brothers above that. And then at number 1 at 6.9 million. Nice.
Is it me?
Billie Eilish.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Maybe South Pasadena's own.
But check
also
this out.
Also friends with her from Bonnaroo. we did a panel together at Bonnaroo, and then we hung
did
out
really?
A little bit. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this little 15-year-old, she seems real neato. and her mom is her manager, and they were like, they wanted to chat with me, and then I saw her perform, and I was like, I think she's going places. I think she
oh,
is.
Oh, wow.
She and her brother have, like, choreographed moves that they do.
Oh, no. On stage?
Yeah. Because her brother, at least at the time, her brother like writes all of her music.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. They write together.
Family band.
Yeah.
What's his name again? Atticus?
Eilish.
I don't know. Yeah.
Eilish.
But check this out. This is the top moneymakers in streaming.
Oh.
Number 10 is Billie Eilish.
With
she's
$17.
Top 10. With 6.1 million. Oh. And then above her in the streaming situation, Khalid is up there. And then Eminem, Juice WRLD, RIP. I love Juice WRLD. It's a bummer that he's gone. And then this is the one, this is number 6. Never heard of this artist. Young Boy Never Broke Again.
Hmm.
Anybody?
No, nope. I don't know.
Oh, is he a TikTok fella?
Oh, good point. That could be a TikTok fella.
Oh, that's right.
Young Boy. I'm going to look this up.
Never Broke Again. He's an American rapper, singer, and songwriter between 2015 and 2017. He released 8 independent mixtapes and got a cult following.
Say,
he's 20.
Self-made.
20 years old.
There he is.
Man, can you imagine getting a cult following for anything you did as a teenager? Like, anything you did. It was all bad decisions.
I would have been, well, and it would have ruined me as a human.
Yeah.
It would have rotted my soul.
And then up the top 5 is Queen, Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, Post Malone, and Drake is on the top streaming of that.
So Queen is on both of those lists. It's the only like sort of legitimate legacy act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what starts to get. Oh, okay. What's up?
Well, I was going to say, I wonder how much this stuff is influenced also by like what's on soundtracks to
certain
things
point.
Or theme songs. Because I mean, that's got to be Queen.
When I hear like top earners in streaming, I think of that list of I'm not gonna pay for this shit.
and it's demographic age wise because you want to hear the top sales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Top sales.
Yeah.
Number 10, Jonas Brothers. Number 9, Post Malone. Number 8, Tool.
Okay.
Number 7.
These old fellers just buying records.
Exactly. Number 7, the Rolling Stones. People, like, you know, mm-hmm. old people, like, don't know how to not, like, the stream as much. So they'll just buy stuff off of iTunes. They're still stuck in that one.
Yeah. They get their CD and they stick it on the turntable.
They also have money and they are attached to physical objects.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Number 6, Taylor Swift. And that makes a lot of sense just because I think she's cultivated her fans are kind of completists where they want to have stuff.
Also, you get a clue with each Taylor Swift album and eventually you put them all together and you have the treasure map and you can go find her treasure in the middle of the desert.
The legend of the Swift treasure. Yeah. BTS above Taylor Swift there. Mm-hmm. And then Paul McCartney, number 4.
Who's above, dad.
But who's above Paul McCartney?
Kiss.
Billie Eilish.
Oh. How about that?
And then above Billie Eilish, Metallica.
Boo.
And then out front of everybody by like 3 million more than Metallica. And also Metallica's great, Neil. Come on. Don't boo Metallica. Queen. Queen is at the top of top sales.
Wow.
That movie did well for them.
Yeah.
Going back to my pal Billy for a second on this, I think this says a lot about her popularity, especially because most of her releases were just like singles, streaming only. This album that she put out, what, last year? The one with the bad guy on it? Mm-hmm. It was like, whoa, the Billie Eilish finally debut album, but it was like she had been streaming for so long since then. So if after all of that, you're like, I need a physical copy, yeah, you're a dad.
That's true. Yeah.
I bought the album. I never streamed her once.
Wow, man, she's got some great stuff.
I bought it sight unseen just because I was like, I need to know what this is about. Yeah. People keep talking about her, and she's like showing up.
Crown, in a Ocean Eyes.
She's like showing up in an inflatable, you know, Bosu ball. You know,
I love how like big and baggy her clothes are because it's so antithetical to how sexualized young female pop stars were when I was coming up, and now she's like. I remember seeing that in a green room one time, and another comic was like, wait, you don't think she's sexual? Like, bad guy's really sexy. And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. And hopefully that comic won't hear me doing that voice for her.
Gilbert
like, it's
doesn't
different.
Listen anymore.
It's like, the words you saying being sexual versus someone stuck me in this bikini top and you get to look at it.
Yeah, going like
very
oops,
different.
You know, that's all 90s pop. Like,
it's
you
like
know,
a 16-year-old. Like,
I'm
a sexy baby. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Ew. My pants fell down so far. Like,
But when it comes to the top money making overall, this means everything involved, all of the live stuff.
Aggregate.
Number 5, Queen. Number 4, Jonas Brothers. Number 3, Elton John.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm,
number 2, Ariana Grande. And number 1, the Rolling Stones.
I wonder, does that have touring in it?
Wait. No, did you say the Beatles? Did I miss that?
No.
The Beatles are not on there because they're not playing live anymore, so they can't be a part of the money makers.
Yeah.
Well, this is the overall because...
But that is the real moneymaker, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Ariana Grande has been touring forever. Elton John's been was on tour from like 2016 until COVID hit. Like that's all been one tour.
I got to
with Billy Joel.
Yeah,
that's right. I got to see some of Elton John's like the last of his show because we were doing the MST3K tour in St. Louis, and like our theater was connected to the arena that they were playing. So like our tour manager was just like, "Do you guys want to go and run and see Elton John after the show's done?" And I was just like, yes, please.
Fuck
and,
yeah.
And, can't. And so.
I'm imagining you guys like stacking up heads around the side of a door.
Well, we all know? Got like seats. We all got seats and we came in like real late. And so there was like people that, like these old people that had taken our seats. And then we came in and they had clearly made friends with the people in the area. So everyone hated us so much. But I remember during the live, like the MST show, I was just like, every time someone would start to riff and kind of go long in one of the sketches, I was like, we have tickets to Elton John. We got to wrap it up.
I remember I got to go. The first corporate gig I ever did was this huge you know, corporate thing for basically one company, SAP. And we were doing a, it was so long ago, we were doing a takeoff on the weakest link, you know, that, and so it was basically like the weakest link, but we're like reciting user stuff about like how to use their different programs. Anyway.
God, when is somebody going to do a podcast about corporate gigs?
That's just, that's what people want to hear about.
Yes.
I would be fascinating.
I have some actually great corporate gig stories. Right. This one is starting like it's not one, but, at the end of our final show, the little stage manager person was like, okay, well, that was great. So do you guys want your tickets now for the private Aerosmith concert? And we were like, what? This convention hired Aerosmith. So when they came, so first of all, it was in somewhere in Florida, Orlando probably, and they rented out the whole venue. So all of the vendors there were also open. You could just go up and be like, I want a corn dog. And they're like, there you go. You got it. It's free.
Oh, wow.
They paid for it. And then when they came out on stage, Steven Tyler, you know, with the, like swinging on a rope and shit, everything was like, what's up, SAP PLM? You guys ready to rock? And these were all computer guys who will never be ready to rock. They weren't ready to rock. It was the most tepid response. Like every time he would be like, what's up? They would be like applaud instead of being like, yeah, it was very weird.
I just loved it. They were
working so hard for that.
I love the idea of like they also got the corporate thing, which is like, hey, could you go up and could you make crazy about Diane from accounting? Just dedicated to her. Yeah.
She does this thing with sweaters that it's so funny. So just mention it and everybody's going to go nuts.
Yeah. Love in an elevator, we might want to stay around because of the sexual harassment suit, but.
I also did a corporate event in Miami one time that was very, very bad. I ate shit many, many times. And I should have known that it would all be very bad because the first morning before we started, and my set had to start at 8 a.m., someone died in one of the pools at the resort.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to mention it.
What do I do with that? Apparently,
all the lifeguards were ready for the show because they weren't at the pool.
Well, yeah, I think it was somebody who'd gotten drunk and then just like fallen in. But yeah, because that's Miami. But yeah, I was like, I don't think it gets worse than this. I'm pretty sure this is about as bad as it gets.
Wow. Was it somebody at the, like, was it just a guest or was it somebody from the corporate?
No, it wasn't from somebody from that company. It was another guest of the hotel. But to get to the event, you had to walk past this pool with police tape all around it.
And the body's still floating?
No, there was no body, but I was like, hey, what was that about? And everybody was like, you didn't hear? Somebody drowned in the pool about 45 minutes ago. Okay, so here's your mic. If it gets dry, maybe freestyle rap about, Toms of Maine. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break for a song and an ad. We'll be right back with more Eliza Skinner. This is a submitted track by Giant Triangle. The song is And Dead Ready. If you want your music featured on this show, email us a Bandcamp link. That will be at Jonah Radio, RAYDIO, at gmail.com. This is Giant Triangle and Dead Ready.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Cash, here to talk to you about Keeps. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You can get treated with Home. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online, very important these days, and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of their medication, of the only true FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've probably never tried them for this price. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month, plus for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment free. That's KEEPS.com/RAYDIO, radio. All right, guys.
Is that enough time, Cash? Okay, all right. Thanks to Rebecca here with Eliza Skinner, whose show Earth's Ned premieres on the same day as her new album, comedy and music album, which is called To All My Former Lovers. What was it?
Regarding. As though I'm looking at them, but also yes. I'm talking about them.
Exactly. And it comes out exactly a week before Sembi Levs.
Yes. Yeah, it gives you a week to enjoy them before you get sad.
Yeah. You been here, know we love covers here. And some people started to like send in covers that not necessarily they made, but like things they've heard. And I found this one, I guess it's from 2008. It's this guy Obadiah Parker, and he did a cover of Hey Ya, an acoustic cover of Hey Ya. And I didn't mind it. Here's a little clip of it.
Baby, don't mess around, because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door? I can't stand to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now.
Got a bit of a strong enough to be your man.
Thank God your mom and dad were sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
Are you strong enough to
I think I remember this from the time it came out.
Yeah, it's got 8.3 million views.
Wow.
On the YouTubes.
You ever think about giving up comedy and just doing soulful covers, guys? I've thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've tried covers. It wasn't the moneymaker I thought it would be. You know, punk rock and Weird Al songs.
I love that project. I feel like that. Like I want all young artists of any kind to like have to study that. Be like, you know what you need to be doing? Get that you are into, and yes. That will lead you to stuff, and you'll figure out stuff about yourself, and you'll figure out your audience, and they'll figure you out. Like, yeah, it's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
There's a thing, me and my friend Jim, who does this thing called Cinematic Void and Beyond Fest and stuff like that. He's a horror guy. But we always talk about stuff. We send each other things, and like we talk about the Venn diagram of me, where it's like here's all this stuff and here's this stuff. Who likes both of these things at the same time? Oh, am I in here by myself? Okay.
No, but like, yeah, the more you make stuff and the more you're going to cram all of the things in and get that center point of the Venn diagram, it's going to be amazing. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were going to cover a movie and like remake a movie, what movie would you do?
Poor. I mean, you know, that's the like kind of like remake something.
Mm-hmm.
Remake. You
know, yeah, I don't know, because it's like there. I've always had this thing. It's like where some movies like are a good idea, but they weren't, you know, they weren't done right. Like, I always think like Plan 9 from Outer Space is such a great idea for a movie, and it's like really messed up, and it's like it has all these elements there that could work, but would it work out of, you know, some things just need to be lo-fi. So I don't know. I mean, did you ever think about what you would do?
Me? Yeah. I would do Punchline.
Oh shit. Oh,
yeah, that
was
That would be
Makes sense.
I think it's almost there, and it does have so many interesting things about it. Most people, when I mention it, they just think about the green room with the lockers in it.
Yes.
Because that's every comic who's seen Punchline is like, what? We don't have lockers?
Yeah.
And then every other comic is like, oh, you haven't? Oh, never mind.
Oh, I kept demanding them in the green rooms. But yeah, I think it actually does do some interesting stuff about the getting into comedy for different reasons, being a young man, being an older woman in it, like that's scrabble and hustle, and trying to maintain relationships around that hustle, and also the like mania. I mean, I think that it could be done better.
Oh, you just want to recast Tom Hanks, do you? Where are you going to find somebody to redo
no,
that?
No, I want to do it now. I would put me in. No, I wouldn't. I would not put myself on screen anymore. At one point, I would have put myself in there, but now some great actress, and I don't know. Get like a Ben Schwartz, or you know what? Ideally, now he's too old now. Like 10 years ago, I wanted to do it with Donald Glover. But
you know, Ben Schwartz already kind of did a movie with, I think, was it Billy Crystal? Or like it's like playing old. Yeah.
But I think that the male female thing is important too.
Yes.
Do you remember her climax of it? That she has to decide whether to do comedy or be married and have a family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's been hiding the whole thing from her husband, and then finally he shows up and he's like, "What, we're not enough for you?" And I'm like, "No, I don't like this. Yeah. Change this.
Can she have it all?"
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's really some. I mean, the hours that you do comedy, it's some. Have him watch TV with the kids and let her go to the Chuckle Hut.
You know, I might do I would do a Rock and Roll High School, but make it more like the class of 1999.
Yeah.
Where there's like actual like murder and stakes to everything.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it actually is a problem as opposed to rambunctious kids. It's like, no, the kids are cyborgs and they're like trying to kill the teachers. And it's like actually the heroes are the teachers in this version.
I like that. That shows growth also.
Yes.
Yeah. I would do Wolverines, but I would recast the American high schoolers as with Iraqi teenagers.
Oh, you're talking Red Dawn?
Oh, you're Red Dawn.
Yeah. Red Dawn, yeah. Wolverine's dumb.
I would do Batman.
So. Wait, which, I mean, do you have a specific one, or are you just, you want your shot at the pie?
No, you know what? I don't have a specific Batman.
You should show how his parents died.
I was about to say, just no one's ever really gone into the origin story aspect of it.
No, there are some stories that I think would be good. I like the No Man's Land idea. I also like the somebody just pitched a Batman on Twitter that was like, hey, you want to fix Batman? Here's how you do it. Make Joe Chill, the guy who killed Batman's parents, a cop, and so Batman becomes this anti-corruption guy as opposed to like this, like, I'm just going to beat the shit out of people and do the stuff to them that cops can't do because of the Constitution.
So where does that leave him in?
It's the way he did it. The way he talked about it was like, it's just an indictment of Commissioner Gordon. Cause there's that whole thing in year one where it's like, he's a good cop, but he turns a blind eye to it, and really sort of putting the focus on Gordon can't be a good guy in this if he's just letting these cops do it. So you'd sort of sacrifice that partnership, but I think it'd be an interesting thing. So I do that guy's thing that he wrote. I talked about Batman.
What goes in the? Yeah, there you go. definitely have to give money for talking about Batman.
Yeah.
John Lennon's killer, Mark David Chapman, denied parole for 11th time.
Yeah. There's still Beatles out there. You want to protect them.
I was about to say, like, John's already gone. I mean,
there's a great part in In Bruges, that movie, with great Irish guy and the other guy. And he knocks out this American in a restaurant, and when he's like down on the ground, he kicks him in the head, and he goes, "That's John Lennon, you Yankee fucker."
Oh yeah. Oop, you got one.
Oh shit.
Oh, you got another one.
That's two.
Let's see. Recently, these guys put together a 23-minute track of 99 metal bands covering 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. And, I mean, yes. I like metal, and I love bottles of beer on walls.
We'll listen to a little bit.
Oh, no, we can see.
We'll listen to a little bit of it. It's got, you know, guys from I Hate God, Napalm Death, Mustard Plug is in there. I guess there's some ska in there.
Exodus. Just 86 is way out of line.
Cephalletic Carnage, which is a great name. Azusa, which is ex-Dillinger Escape Plan. You got Venom Incorporated. Is that like just a, like a, is that just the band playing Venom covers in suits?
By Venom.
Venom LLC.
Oh, I thought
Testament is in there. Odious Mortem. MU330. So Dan Pontas is in. There are some ska people in here. Philip. All right. There's.
Well, you know, when metal bands tour the Midwest, they have to like go with whatever opener's available.
Yeah, that's a good point.
True. Yeah. All right. Let's see what. Why won't it play sounds? There we go.
78 bottles of beer on the wall.
So it should be playing, but it, oh, here we go. Skip ahead. All right. Should I skip to the very end and see how it ends up?
Yeah.
I hope it ends with one.
Wow. How long is this symphony?
23 minutes, you said.
23 minutes. Yeah, I said earlier. On the wall. That's Phil from Pantera. Oh, that's the last one.
Pass it around. There's no more bottles of beer on the wall.
Is that Tom Waits?
No, it's a, it's Phil Anselmo from Pantera.
Oh, okay. That was sad.
I think we need to take that Santé de Or money and just send it to the engineer that had to paste all 99 of those together.
They were working on that since 2013.
Oh, okay. They've
been piecing it together over the years.
Wow.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. But it's like, it's a lot of like to get a band and then to get them to record it. And to like, it's like that, that I think that's really, and the whole thing is like, you know, for sale as a benefit. I think I feel like
during quarantine, you could have done it in a month.
Yeah. They said they wrapped it up pretty quickly once quarantine happened.
Yeah. I like a music project. I like a, we're all doing this dumb thing together. We had a thing in my college town called the Rock Lotto, where everybody who was in a band would put their names all in a hat and then you'd pull out four or five. And those people had to make a band. You had a month to have a song.
Oh, wow.
That's great. I love that stuff. I've always wanted to do more stuff like that. It's just so fun playing. And then I have like, you know, like I share a jam pad with like Dave Lyons and like our friend Jimmy. And just, it's just a lot of fun. I just wish we had like, you know, like better recording. It's like, cause then like the recording is the kind of the important part where you can actually put stuff down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot easier to do a better recording now than it used to too.
That's very true.
You got your iPhone.
Got your iPhone. You can make anything in the palm of your hand.
You can make anything. They made Tangerine, you know, come on.
Here's another cover, 2 Minutes to Late Night, which is a very funny death metal talk show that's been going on in New York for a while. They've been putting together a lot of great, like, super group covers. And then they had a bunch of people from, like, Jesus Piece, Nothing, Creeping Death, Fever 333, Glassjaw, Primitive Weapons. And they did a cover, like a thrash cover of Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name of. And it's, like, it's pretty cool. We'll be right back. Yeah, so it works.
Yeah. What's the name of that band?
Well, that's it's like a super group. So Two Minutes of Late Night. It's like it was a
comedy show. Would really like this, yeah.
Yeah, I think you should look them up on YouTube. They do a lot of great bits. They did a show at St. Vitus, I think, in New York. And it's like a guy in like black metal makeup. And it was a shock to me that it wasn't Dave Hill. When I started researching, I was like, this is not Dave Hill, a guy doing. So there's with Dave Hill and this guy who calls himself Guarsinio Hall.
Yes, as a Richmonder, any Guar reference always fun.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say like are you going to try and go home and then try and make it so they can get an odorous statue in Richmond, Virginia?
Sure. If it's on a ballot, I'll push for it. I mean, I think it should really be, you know, the whole band. Yeah. I went down a real rabbit hole. I'm sure I talked about them before on this show. A rabbit hole this week of listening to old Inquisition recordings, which was another band. They were like the little brothers of Avail, scene-wise.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you did talk about them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I found their album again this week, and I was just like in the sweaty, non-air-conditioned quarantine stupor, like, why aren't these guys big? They should have been big. They should have been a big deal. I'm like, no one wanted to hear about it. I'm like, well, yeah, I still am right.
Yeah. There's been a lot of, I think like people have so much more time to kind of like deep dive, and then like it's like I've been finding bands where it's just like, this is great. Why no one ever, how did I miss this? Woo-hoo-hoo. You know, it's there's a thing I've been doing lately on like where I'll go on Spotify and I'll put in like garage rock, and then you know I'll pick a country, just a random country. Cool. And then you find like so many like crazy scenes and stuff like that, like just to say, oh, I didn't know you know that, you know, just like Uganda had a crazy, you know, garage funk scene in the 70s, and then like there's all these, you know, compilations and records. It's really, really, really fun.
Cut to nice. Jonah cornering Henry Rollins at some party.
So, do you know about this?
Henry's like, I think I see someone I know over there.
I'll say this. It's like when we had on the Nerdist way back in the day, we had Henry Rollins. And I've said this before. We had Henry Rollins and Dr. Demento on the show like weeks apart. And it was like having the same person on the show. Because it's just like they have that kind of like that record collector guy. Brain where it's just like you mentioned something, and what's like, you know, like with Henry Rollins, it's like you would go, oh yeah, well with like, you know, SST Records, it's like SST Records started in 1977 with, you know, like it's like Greg Ginn, and then like he looks past you a million miles away and just gives you every bit of information he has, where Dr. Demento, you just go, well, yeah, Stan Freberg. Yes, Stan Freberg. In 1947, he wrote his first comedy song. Like, you know, it's just the same.
These both sound like messing with a touchscreen computer at very specific museums. You know, to hear more about blah, press this.
Dr. Demento.
That kind of makes sense with, they're both great on the, like, I'm a big fan of Henry Rollins' radio show, much more than I am pretty much him talking any other spot, but it makes sense that he would be good at it because there's literally no one for him to avoid eye contact with in the studio. It's just a microphone, so he can just talk past it and it works.
Mm-hmm. True. We're gonna, oh, what's up?
I was just gonna ask a question about covers, but
oh sure, yeah, yeah, go for it.
With covers, do you guys find you prefer a slowed down or a picked up cover? Because I feel like, you know, those are the big choices.
It really just depends. You know, the more we, you know, kind of dissect them, the more we realize it's like, it, there's no real hard and fast rules of it. It's just you don't want to, we talk about how you don't want to be too close to it, because then what's the point?
Yeah. That's the toughest to slip by me, is to get like pretty much like a note for note, you know, A for A, apples for apples.
Because then that just becomes like karaoke. You're just hearing someone else sing a song and everyone's doing a good job. And just, you know, it's, we're not saying that it's like bad. It's just like, it's not exciting, you know, it's and then to kind of completely,
it's not adding to it.
Yeah.
Experience you've already had.
Exactly. And then to completely deconstruct it is sometimes, I don't know. It just, I don't think there's any hard and fast rules of what makes a good cover.
Mm-hmm. I have one hard and fast rule, that you tap into the emotional core of the song and use what you've got to heighten that in whatever direction. So, you know, if it's somebody's sad song, if it's somebody's excited song, I mean, and you can like subvert it and twist it some way, but I think the ones that I don't like are people are the songs that seem to ignore the emotional content of the song and just change something musically randomly.
Yeah. Not to steal Neil's anecdote, but he talks about Strutter as his favorite cover.
Cutter.
But the Donnas, right? And you talked about just changing the gender of the person singing the song goes it from a Kiss song where they're talking.
Well, no, they didn't change the gender.
So
of the singer.
Yeah, so the narrator as a woman saying, "I know everything about her," it's like a different dynamic between the three people in the story.
Yeah,
and that's a case where it is kind of a note for note, like apples to apples kind of thing, but because they didn't change the lyrics at all, which would be kind of a lazy move anyway, but it makes it much more complicated because it's a different relationship between the players.
Well, and it's doing something with the emotions of it. It's like like recognizing them, the twisting them a little bit. Yeah. I love the much more famous Linda Ronstadt and Stone Ponies version of Different Drum as opposed to the Mike Nesmith version, which is the same sort of thing, because Different Drum is basically like, hey, look, I like you, but like, I'm really not looking to be tied down. And when it's a woman singing that, it feels like, especially from the 70s, feels like way more of a revolution to be like, oh, okay, that's an option. Fun.
But what about new versions of artists' old song? Here's here is Alanis Morissette. She just put out a Spotify single, and this is You Oughta Know, but this is her doing basically a revamp.
Oh, yeah. This is the middle-aged version.
That I am happy for you.
No, she goes down on you.
It feels like my semi-private. This feels like my aunt got a divorce. Where are the kids gonna stay?
Basically, I think she's jumping. She's jumping to like, it's like some trailer for some movie is going to be using a slowed down version of You Oughta Know eventually.
Yeah.
I might as well be the person who makes that version.
For sure.
Might as well get the performance and recording.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just strip those lyrics out and let's cut the trailer.
Just the exercise of like a young woman's passionate kind of sexual rage becoming an older woman's sadness is hard to listen to right now. I mean, it's cool, but you know.
We're going to take a break for a song real quick, and we're going to come back and wrap it up with more Eliza Skinner. Here we are going to play a new song from the Ophelias, one of my favorite bands. The Ophelias just put out a new EP, and here is the song off of it called Grand Canyon. Back with more radio in a bit.
Fall asleep fearing there's a after the night lives, after the night.
So that is basically it for the show. Eliza, thanks for being here for us.
It. Thank you for having me.
Did you send me a track?
I am trying to right now. Okay. Here, hold on. I'll send you a. I can send you a link in here if you can. Can you use that?
I'm just gonna fill in by saying fuck and damn it and butt and front butt.
What about ass?
Blank
ass.
I'll take.
We do want to say though, if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, this Saturday, August 20, what is it going to be, guys?
It is going to be the 29th on
29th,
Saturday.
August 29th. It is Play Music on the Porch Day. This is a thing that Brian Mallman has put together. The idea is, what if the whole world just stopped for a day and played music and listened to music? And if you go to @playmusicontheporch, hashtag playmusicontheporch, you'll find that people all over the world are like filming themselves at their homes, playing music, use the hashtag, explore it, connect with people. It's really, really neat and really fun and like kind of going through the hashtag and the people posting and stuff like that. So be sure to do that. If you do that, we're going to look through it too. Tag us as well. We'll try and like play some clips of people that have done stuff. Actually, Eliza, will you commit to doing, Play Music on the Porch?
Sure. Yeah. That sounds great.
Sounds good.
Go I love us. It.
At cool. Play Music on the Porch, hashtag Play Music on the Porch. Brian Mallman's great. And you know, here's the thing. I saw a screening of Bill and Ted Face the Music. I saw I got to see it and I love it. I love it a lot. And it's crazy. There's a lot of stuff in it that we talk about where it's like Neil, like, cause they have daughters in it. And
they have knives.
Yes. But Neil, the way Neil talks about music, and how like younger generations get into music. It's like a lot of the stuff we talk about and music connecting people and stuff like that. It really is very apparent in this. It's a very feel good movie. I'm very excited for people to see.
Well, we did have Alex Winter on the show. You think that maybe he like went back to Ed Solomon and was like, you guys, you got to check this out. Like the yeah. Chuck Berry scene and just like hands him Jonah Radio.
Yeah, exactly. I recorded all these episodes of this podcast on this cassette tape. Listen to this. Earth to Ned is coming out.
Disney Plus, September 4th. We're dropping our first 10 episodes. We had amazing writers on the show too. You know, Jordan Morris, Nick Weiger, Sierra Katow, Joel Boyd, Yasser Lester.
Nice.
Murderer's Row.
Dan Greger. Yeah, Adam Stein, who's also a writer for Harley Quinn. So yeah, it was an amazing group of people. Yeah,
Are you allowed to mention the guests that are going to be on it or?
Oh, probably. I mean, definitely the ones from the trailer, which is Billy D. Williams and Gina Carano. RuPaul, we got Tom Lennon, we got Raven Simone, Eli Roth in my horror episode that I penned. We got Eli Roth and Lil Rel, and Andy Richter, all kinds great. Of great people. It was a really fun chance for me to get a lot of the things that I love and the people that I love all in one project. I think that's what makes cool stuff.
That's awesome.
Definitely. And I know you were very excited about that. And you were I remember you being at a kind of a creative and life crossroads right around the time where you were deciding.
Yeah, you and I were both talking about like splitting town, getting out of the country.
Yes.
I was really thinking about taking advantage of the old UK citizenship and moving to England. And then I
so
got this job.
So jealous that you have that. So jealous.
I keep telling you, figure out a way for you and Deanna to marry me, and we'll all go.
Well, it seems like they're getting real liberal over there with that government, so I think it's a possibility.
It's a blooming lotus, you know?
And everybody's welcome Americans into their country these days.
Sure.
Just get Deanna a big hat with a ribbon and a giant lollipop, and she can pretend to be your child.
Yes. Yeah. I live in a different house from my children, my child's husband.
I just want that to hear Deanna's Cockney accent. I know you're moving to England, but for some reason she has one in my head.
Already. Yeah, she'll pick it up fast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said cock. That's one.
Oh, there you go. All right, I'm going to do a final tally on the swears, the cuss, a buck of cuss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, $25
hot
raised
damn
for kitties.
Nice. Oh,
26.
Yay.
Fucking A. 27.
Asshole.
No one wants to join in. All right. but we're going to, and then your comedy album, Regarding My Lovers.
Mm-hmm. A Special Thing Records coming out.
Full disclosure, I also have albums on Special Thing Records. Just want to make sure there's no...
Yeah, we get it. We're all paying Matt Belknap's mortgage.
yes, so...
My tally's way higher than yours.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I have 39.
Oh, wow.
Well, fuck it. Let's make it 40.
There it is. And we're going to end this episode with a song from Eliza called The World Is Ending. Now, Eliza, will you want to set up this track?
Yeah, actually, you can start playing it because there's weird sounds at the beginning of it. I guess it's kind of loud, weird sounds.
No, I'll try to turn it down.
I put this out before it was, things were as bad as they are now. Have you ever heard of this? But yeah. This is The World Is Ending, my new wave hit.
Perfect. Thanks so much to Dan Engler, our associate producer. I want to thank Cash Hartzell.
Dan.
Eliza Skinner, Earth to Ned, and Regarding My Lovers. Here is a song from that album, The World Is Ending. Thanks so much for listening to General Radio. If you want your music.
It's late, the bars are closing. The world is closing too. I noticed you looking at me, and I noticed you noticing me looking at you. If the world is ending, and the world is ending, you should probably come home with me tonight. If the world is ending, the world is ending. This bar is getting lower after last call when they turn on all the lights. You and I, we're not strangers. We've seen each other here before. We've had some laughs, some jokes across the line, but the countdown clock is ticking. We don't have to be polite anymore. If the world is ending, and the world is ending, you should hurry up and put your hands all over me. If the world is ending, and the world is ending, we should exercise the rights we still have. All the bets are off now. There are no promises we're breaking. You are the bad choice I feel good about making. The news reports are chilling, but you make me so hot. Let's get it on quick, baby, before we get blown up or shot. We're gonna get blown up and shot. We can still fuck. Sayonara.
those of you still listening, that was One More Fuck given in the track The World Is Ending. So there you go. Thanks for listening. Be kind.